Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Griffin here.
None of these scenarios are based on any real-life events. Everything is made up entirely on the spot.
Take it away, song!
Hi.
I'm Griffin.
I'm Steven the Dog.
And this is Killed to Death.
The improvised true crime podcast.
The show Einstein tragically passed away before he could enjoy.
That's so true. Wait, yeah, he would have loved podcasts.
He would have loved this podcast.
Right.
Steve, one of the big movie-going events is underway. Dune 2.
Yeah.
The movie's so fun they made a second one. Everyone's
Dune 2 others as you would have them do to you.
Do it to you.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to the theater. This is a big movie going event.
Yeah.
We haven't seen the likes of since Barbenheimer.
In a whole 8 months.
And we might have talked about this on the show at some point during the years. I'm sure we have. But it's been a while since we've talked about our personal theater tips and tricks, some hacks to enhance the movie-going experience when you're out at your local Cineplex, your local mom-and-pop Cineplex.
Well, that is my tip number one. Support your mom-and-pop theaters. Do not go to these mega chains. Everyone's
telling
you,
stay at home in your mom and dad's house.
Go to your mom-and-pop's chain theater, which is their TV at their place in their basement, and you're gonna hear from the likes of Nolan and everyone's favorite Quebecois director Denis Villeneuve, and they're gonna tell you about IMAX, and they're gonna say that's the only way to experience things. That's not true. You can have so much more fun with just you and your parents.
Yeah, I, Max, and Barb, the three of us, all down there in the basement watching a movie.
Your mom, Barb, and your dad, Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
And you'll be a very helpful presence kind of explaining Dune.
And
like, what's that? And you'll be like, oh, it's the worm.
And you know what is so beautiful and that you can't do in the big old theaters? You can't pause for mom and dad in the theaters. But when you're home, if you want to read them a passage from Dune book in the middle of it, go for it.
And then you can say, see?
See, it was the worm.
I told you that was the worm.
So it's right here, worm.
Steve, my tip's the opposite. Because we're different guys. I think we have our own personalities.
And listeners, suss out which one works for you.
I say go to the Cineplex and I say use the VIP section. Get
have
that VIP experience. Get a beer. Order a beer.
Whoa. They had I saw Dune 2 last night. They have a Dune drink.
There's a worm in it?
Yeah, it's tequila. It's just straight tequila. It's a shot of tequila but you can bring it to your seat. How cool is that?
Get absolutely trashed.
You can walk over one little shot of tequila and then go find your seat. I saw a guy holding a tray of 6 or 7 of them. He had a good time.
Yeah, so that's why the VIP section is good.
The valet
might be there.
The valet, I find, is like a little bit annoying because you're already like in a theater. You don't have a car or anything like that, but you still have to give him your keys.
Well, because he's getting you so drunk right away.
That is true. That's true. He's also the bartender. I'm seeing now why he insists that you give him your keys. My tip is bring your own bucket. A lot of memes online about this Dune bucket. It's quite frankly, it's scary and it's heinous and it's dangerous. And you can just bring your own stuff to put your popcorn in. If you want it in a pillowcase, like it's Halloween night, do that. If you just want to put it in your shirt, kind of balloon your shirt out a little bit and pour it all into your shirt, do that.
What I'll do is I'll just pop my trunk and bring an employee out to the parking lot and be like, I want it in there.
Well, get the valet to pop your trunk.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That's his job.
He's got your keys. Yeah. And then and you say, back it up. And they back up one of those
my
gold
car.
Trolleys.
Back up your car. Into the theater under the popcorn machine.
Yes. And they pour it in. And that's beautiful because a lot of people want that theater popcorn not at the theaters. It's impossible to do. So back up your car, fill up your trunk, eat it at home.
Yeah, with me,
Mom and Dad.
Barb, and Max. And my final tip is come in costume. Wear a Cineplex uniform and they'll let you into any room.
What room are you looking to get into most?
I want to get into the projector booth and fuck up the film.
Okay. And what does that look like? Are you stitching in little
penises that flash?
I'm not
stitching anything. I'm just kind of pulling it out of the reel and stretching it out and like holding it up to the light and going, what the hell is this?
Is that a worm?
Is that a worm? And then I have to like talk to the audience and I use the projector's mic that they rarely use themselves.
Do they have one?
I don't know. Ever heard one? No.
I was genuinely curious. I'm like, cause I feel like I've never heard a communication back. You know when something's not working in the theater, everyone in the theater's upset clearly, and it's kind of like something's not right. It's like you never hear the projectionist come over like they would like a subway operator and be like, "Sorry for the delay, everyone." Or never had that.
I think I have had a couple times, like watching The Hangover in theaters or like a big comedy movie experience like that. Sometimes if like people are laughing a lot, they'll come over the mic and be like, settle down.
That is true. Yeah. Okay. I have.
Or sometimes
too.
They'll be like, hey, check this out. This next part's awesome.
Yeah. That's when the comedy's not really landing that well. When you're watching Hangover 2 or something.
Hey, stop talking to your friend. Check it out. Check out this next part. It's awesome.
No, keep
Mike
watching.
Tyson's still there.
Is that true? Is he in the second one?
I think he's in all of them.
Really? I thought he was busy.
No, his boxing career is long over, Steve.
Well, he keeps telling me he's busy.
You want to hang out with him?
No, I want him to be in my movies.
You want to fight him?
I want to fight him in a movie, yeah. I keep trying to make a movie about me boxing Mike Tyson. He says no. Circle of life.
And speaking of movies, Steve, do you want to solve a murder?
Mm-hmm.
The victim, Tom Shearer, killed during a photo shoot. Today's guest, Declan McManus, the shoot's photographer. Declan, hello.
Top of the morning to you. I'm just kidding. I'm second generation Irish. My parents are Irish, but I'm not from the Emerald Isle.
Oh, I've been once. It was beautiful.
I've been four times. They were all pretty good. I just kind of, I have like my grandparents are over there, so we just visited them. They live on a farm.
One grandparent per visit?
Yeah, that's all we could afford.
It's one at a time.
In Ireland, it's a little different. You kind of, people don't know this. If you have grandparents over there, you can have to pay to see them. It's a way to kind of.
Who are you
bolster.
Paying?
You're paying the government. It's a way to sort of bolster their social security, like the sort of safety net, you know? So you have to pay $500 a head. So, you know, let's say it's if me, my sister, and my parents, that's $2,000 per grandparent. And we don't have $8,000.
That's why they call it grandparent.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so we don't have $8,000 to spare for all four at one whack. So, so we have to kind of parcel it out.
Are they enforcing that? Like, are they there at the farm to make sure you're only seeing like Pappy?
Yeah, they have. Well, the thing is, like, if you are a grandparent, you live in state sponsored housing. But they're when you go to their house, they have. It's kind of like if you were to go to a dormitory. Like, there's a person at the desk, and you have to check in.
Or like a retirement home.
I suppose. Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
No. This is like a dorm for old people.
All right, but heck, they're partying there, I guess. More.
It is kind of, it's technically retirement home, but more of a dorm vibe. So like, large communal showers and they have a mess hall and everything like that. But it's just for one grandparent. So it's a pretty kind of a luxury setup, really.
Well, yeah. They have one mess hall per grandparent?
Yeah. If you are a grandparent, you are given your own house. You get like your, it's like having your own, dorm, like your own dorm building, really.
It sounds like they're seeing some of this $500. It's getting back to their living situation, at least. They're living well.
Well, no, I mean, the government gives them a certain allotment, but, it's all taken care of anyway. Like, they don't have to pay for food or anything like that.
They have a meal card.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, they have their ID. Obviously, they have to show their ID in order to get that food.
There's a pizza and a Tim Hortons.
Or, yeah, whatever the Irish version of that is. Ireland does have its own Tim
what's
Hortons.
The Irish version of pizza?
Well, it's Patty Hortons.
Oh, Patty
that's,
Hortons.
That's,
yeah.
Well, that's the Irish version of Tim Hortons. That's Tim Hortons. Sorry, I thought that's what you asked. Yeah. Irish version of pizza. I guess just corned beef. It's the same deal, but there's a little guy. It is actually Julius Caesar, like the mascot for Little Caesars.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Pizza. That's a different thing. Does Pizza have a mascot?
Little Caesar is, okay, the Little Caesar guy, he says Pizza. That's why it's confusing.
That's what's confusing.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Which I think is so funny.
Yeah. That's
well,
so
I
weird.
Feel like it's because Little Caesars doesn't give a shit about Pizza. It's
Pizza, Domino's. Bye.
I think you're right. Yeah, it's a flex. It's a total flex. Say, yeah.
You should say a different chain every time.
Yeah, that's kind of like how Ronald McDonald says Burger King, right? They don't.
Yeah,
and he says it just like that.
Yeah.
Burger King. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's like how Burger King says Harvey's.
It's kind of a real chain of chains.
Grimace says Jiffy Lube.
Yeah. And Jiffy Lube, they're really not any competition to McDonald's.
Brand partnership, it feels like, almost. Like
more that.
Cross-promotional as well. Like, you get a free burger when you get your oil changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't say it's from McDonald's.
Don't rotate your
Grimace
tires while
there.
You're in line in the drive-thru. And Grimace is there.
You know when you go through a car wash, does Jiffy Lube have a car wash? Let's say it does. You do those like big things that drape over the car. They're just big grimaces that are like wiping over your car.
Oh!
Sponged up, wet grimaces.
Yeah.
A guy actually died. There was a big lawsuit 2 years ago. One of the grimaces died at Jiffy Lube.
Oh, man, we shouldn't have been joking about it then. Fuck, I feel bad.
I wasn't joking. These were facts about the Jiffy Lube.
Yeah, that's just a fact. But yeah, one of them suffered cardiac arrest from being spun around too hard.
They had him on like the pillars that
spinnies
spin
on the side. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's why now the grimaces, the live grimaces, were replaced by just like large Grimace dolls. So it's not
in
Grimace
suits.
It's not
guys
suits.
In suits anymore.
Not anymore.
CGI.
And it's sad for like the grimaces, like they lose a job, right? I don't know. If they what they do now for employment, I don't know if they learned how to code or whatever, but
just a bunch of grimaces sitting in cubicles.
They did learn how to code, I've heard. Yeah.
Okay, all of them. Okay, well, that's good.
They did. Yeah.
I wish I knew how to code, but I don't. I just don't have any kind of head for computers.
You're an artist.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm a photographer, but I'm an analog.
Oh, sorry. You're not an artist. You're a photographer.
Well, no, I am an artist, but I don't use I'm not a digital photographer. I use analog all the way. I'm film, baby.
Mm.
Is this one of these like old timey like, hey, hold still for a half hour, puff a?
I do that. Yeah, like the old time. Yeah, and there's the huge flash, So I do black and white photography, but also some color. I do nature photography. I do weddings. I do bar mitzvahs. I do. Anything, any kind of event, I don't have any morals, so if your event is bad, like if your event is like wrong, I'll do it.
What's the most wrong event you've ever done?
I took a photograph Well, not one. I took photographs at one time when a mob guy got murdered.
At the execution? Or?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they invited me. They wanted photos of it. So I think they told him that he was... Well, I think it was a good photo situation. They told him he was getting made.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, yeah, there's a photographer to take photos of you getting made. And then, yeah, and they shot him right in the head. And I got
But your camera takes so long to take the shot. Were you even able to capture that?
Yeah, well, I mean, they lied to him and were like, okay, so, you know, getting made, it's a pretty big deal. That part wasn't a lie, but they were like, yeah, so we really want you to really remember this moment. So, yeah, really, you know, it's going to take a while for the camera to really, you know, get operating, but it's going to be worth it. And yeah, and then finally I got it ready, and I got a pretty cool black and white photo of him getting whacked, as they say.
And I guess if it's a long exposure, that bullet looks cool.
Yeah. You can see it right, like, split second before it entered his head. And he had no idea what was going on, so he really had a goofy look on his face. Like, he was really happy. Yeah, so I actually... That photograph I sent to Newsweek. But they didn't know what it was, so they didn't really use it.
Also, I feel like the mob probably doesn't want you sending those out.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought of that, but in hindsight, it's probably a blessing in disguise they didn't use that. Yeah, that's a good point. I could have really been in trouble.
What did you want them to do with it? Did you attach any sort of information at all with it? Or?
No, I kind of thought it was self-explanatory. I just thought, well, this could really make me. This is a great photograph. Yeah, it's... But yeah, I guess I just didn't... feel like it needed. I didn't want to try to influence their interpretation of it or their experience of it. That's with art. I don't want art explained to me before I experience it, or indeed during it or after it. So I just kind of wanted the photograph to speak for itself. And I guess it didn't do that, or didn't do it loudly enough or clearly enough. So they did not use it.
They did not print that photo of the guy getting murdered.
No, they didn't.
What kind of event was the one Tom Shearer was at?
Tom Shearer, that was a wedding. Tom Shearer was actually the best man. It was his brother who was getting married to his brother. So it was his brother and then his brother's best friend's sister is who he was getting married to.
Wait, so the guy,
get a name. The guy the
getting married, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the brother? What's his name?
So the brothers, I mean, there was Tom, he was the guy who was murdered, and then brother's mm-hmm. best name was Cliff.
His best name was Cliff?
His brother's name was Cliff, the best.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah.
Cliff was getting married.
That's right.
And it was to Cliff's best friend's sister?
Right, yeah.
And who was the best friend?
I don't know his name.
Okay, do you know the sister's name, the bride?
Angela.
Angela, okay. Cliff and Angela's wedding. And she was the sister of Cliff's best friend.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, and they hired you, obviously, then, Cliff and Angela?
They did, yeah. They'd heard about my work. Well, I mean, I spam them a lot.
They'd seen your hits?
Yeah, they seen a lot of the photos I took. They took, I mean, the photo of the guy getting whacked.
Is that what you were spamming them with?
No, I was spamming them with some photos I took of a porn shoot. I was a still photographer. I do some of that too. So it was a photograph of a threesome that was going on. It was tasteful. You couldn't really see any like naughty bits. It was just.
Then why were you there?
Well, I mean, I was there to take still photographs for like promotional purposes. But the photo I used was just a photo I took of them when, again, you couldn't see any naughty bits. I kind of they were just positioned it away where you just couldn't see it at that moment.
It was like Austin Powers, where they were standing behind like grapefruits and bananas.
No, nothing quite that.
Oh, okay.
Fancy. It was just like the one
too
guy.
Fancy,
like,
dude.
The one guy's butt was hiding just behind just a huge pillow, and the one girl's you couldn't see the nipples on the other girl, and then like the other girl,
you just couldn't. See
she was hiding behind that girl.
So it looked like there was two people.
No, there were three people. Yeah, it was a threesome.
It sounds like a beautiful photo.
It was a beautiful photo, yeah. It was, I don't know, it was kind of something that you might see in Playboy, in my opinion. Although Playboy did not accept that photo.
Did you send it to Playboy? Oh, yeah,
I sent it to Playboy, okay, yeah. And again, didn't want to affect their try to influence their experience of it either. So I did not give any information. It was just a tasteful photo of a guy and through two women. And yeah, I did not hear about that back about that either. So maybe, yeah, you guys are making me realize maybe I should, if I am going to submit photos that way, I should probably submit some explanation, some context.
Or even like a Dear Playboy.
Yeah.
My name's Declan. I'm a photographer.
Yeah, provide my contact info would be helpful.
Some way to reach you, yeah.
Some way to reach me, yeah, that would definitely wouldn't hurt, yeah.
But for Cliff and Angela, you just sent them all your reel, basically, which is porn and a guy getting shot.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of things. Porn, guy getting shot, other... But like other, like I do a lot of, like... Like the one mob thing I mentioned was like a fake guy getting made ceremony, whatever it's called. But I do real ones as well.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so there's some of those, and I've done like meetings of the Satanic Church. I've done, just a lot of really good stuff and also really kind of criminal things. Things that are immoral that I don't want to talk about.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about the Cliff and Angela wedding then. At what point was it that Tom was found dead?
So it was actually right about 10 minutes after he did his best man toast.
Oh, mm. Was it good?
He did an okay job. I had submitted some jokes for him to use. I'm not really, I'm not a comedian, but...
Can we hear them? That I,
yeah. So I definitely would love to sell them to you right now. So one of the jokes was, Tom, it's interesting seeing you getting married. I never thought that you would settle down. I always thought that your life was just going to be a string of just empty sexual conquests with no emotional involvement, that you were just never going to be able to emotionally commit to a woman or physically commit to a woman. Or commit in any other way. I thought that you were going to die alone. I thought that you were going to die, frankly, in poverty, in both, like, both financially and, emotional poverty. So that was the main joke that I submitted.
Yeah.
And I'm laughing right now. I think that's pretty damn funny, but, apparently he didn't, it didn't go over.
And sorry, that was it. That was the end of it. Just, I thought you were going to die in poverty.
Yeah, that was the end of it. And it was like, you could call it anti-humor, I suppose, but I don't know. I thought it would be funny.
But Tom didn't use it.
No, he did use it. Just didn't go over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
People did not get it at all.
Were you trying to make the, kind of get the laughs going, you know, like a projectionist? Were you trying to be like, oh, well, listen up to this next one. This next one's going to be good.
Yeah, I did try to hype it up, like, yeah, at certain points, I did shout out, like as you were talking about earlier, like, stop talking to your husband. This is really funny. Or like, oh, this it's really good what he's doing right now. And I think that was counterproductive. I think people really hated me doing that. I actually had another joke I was like, I got this out of a joke book, actually. It was one joke where it was like, so the thing about your groom here is that he has the mind of a bird. It's constantly flittering around, that didn't go over either. I don't know
you
why.
Got that from a joke book?
I got it from a joke book. It was actually I'm at my desk now. Let's see if I can find the book.
Oh my god, I hope you can find a joke book.
Shuffling my papers.
We've got
right now.
Our next 15 minutes figured out if you've got a joke book.
Checking my paper to see if I have it. Oh yes, here it is. 200 jokes that don't make any sense. Oh no. Should have checked the name of the book before I bought it. Paid $80 for it at a rare bookstore. Oh no!
Oh,
this is a disaster.
No.
Oh, how many people have you been giving these jokes to? You've been doing this to every best man.
Every time a guy's getting made, you tell him a bunch of jokes to say.
No, this is personal because, you know, it was, these are people I knew.
Oh, you knew Cliff and Angela.
Yeah, I knew, I knew Tom, you know.
Oh, okay. You knew Tom.
I knew Tom specifically, yeah.
What from?
Friends. We play bocce ball. We had played in the same bocce ball club. We play competitively. So that's where I knew him from.
And that's how you got kind of into the wedding?
Yeah, more or less. We talked during bocce ball, and obviously we talked about what we do for a living. And so I was like, yeah, I'm a photographer. If you ever know anyone who needs anything photographed for whatever reason. I do weddings, I do funerals, I do mob hits, I do Church of Satan meetings.
Do a lot of funerals hire a photographer?
Yeah, they certainly have hired me a few times, not often, frankly. I guess that makes sense. I mean, maybe people don't want, you know, photos of
them crying that they can then put on their mantle and say, like, oh, do you remember Grandma? Yeah, look how sad I was when she died.
Yeah, there's not a big call for photos of pews full of people at a funeral. people don't want to look at that, but some do.
I want to say this seems like a tragedy because Tom seems like he was such a good friend to you. He managed to get you as the photographer to the wedding he was best man at, even though he was spamming the couple with photos afterwards. He accepted some of the jokes you submitted to him from 200 jokes that don't really make sense. He was a very accepting friend to you, I think.
He was, yeah. He wasn't, we weren't close friends or anything, but certainly we were very, you know, friendly. We didn't hang out much outside of bocce ball. There was one time he did invite me over to his house, he had me over for a big spaghetti dinner with his wife, who unfortunately is now a widow, sad to say. I learned a lot about his life. I learned about how he apparently didn't really like his wife, unfortunately, which he did mention while she was there.
And that was part of his best man speech?
No, this is during the dinner.
Just during the big spaghetti dinner.
He did mention it actually during the speech, now that I think about it. It was something he brought up a lot, and she seemed really nice, but he just was always talking about how he'd kind of settled and he thought he could get someone more smoking. And he mentioned that during the best man speech too, which his wife did not appreciate. She was there as well.
I wish I was the one marrying Angela. At least she's smoking.
Yeah, well, Angela was quite smoking, it is true. And, yeah, I mean, he did call her smoking, and he did say that he wished he was marrying her. That's another reason why his speech did not go over very well. I did not recommend that part of the speech, by the way.
It sounds like none of it was that successful. I mean, at first you were like, yeah, it was pretty good, but so far it sounds like all in all a disaster.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm looking at it with rose-colored glasses in a sense, but yeah, now that
he also died right after.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely casts a real pall over the whole thing. He also tried an insult comic thing, which I also would not recommend, where he's just like, you look old as hell.
You's here tonight?
Yeah. Oh, so I see there's a meeting of the elderly incel club. At one point he said that to a group of elderly gentlemen who did not find it funny. He also started
What did they look like? How can you tell if an elderly person looks like an incel?
I think he was just simply suggesting that they did not look fuckable.
Oh, okay.
And frankly they didn't, but at a certain point, I mean, they were old enough, they probably didn't
say
care.
That in the, yeah, you, I mean, you it's should also, yeah, it's not the space for that.
True. I mean, there's a context.
Time and a place, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. It's not, but it did not go over well. Also, he started going after, he talked about politics a lot. So he was saying that he was talking about the Russia-Ukraine war. And I thought he was in support of Russia.
Okay.
Which is not a popular opinion for obvious reasons. And he just said Putin unlike the table of elderly insult men, was, in his opinion, very fuckable. And at that point...
How long was the speech?
The speech was actually only 5 minutes. He acted through a lot of stuff in 5 minutes.
Wow, it was okay. Mainly just, Cliff, you're going to die in poverty. I wish I married Angela. She's smoking. You're ugly. This elderly person is unfuckable. Yeah. Putin is fuckable. Bye.
And one bird joke.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's right. And the bird joke. About. The bird joke, yeah, which also is from that book, that unfortunate book I purchased, paid too much money for, frankly. He had kind of a Robin Williams delivery. Well, that's the other thing. He got up at one point and started running around and, like, climbing on top of the tables. And he started going, ooh, ooh, yes, ooh. He started going like that. So it was very
Robin Williams. Was he trying to do an impression?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it kind of looked like it, but it didn't really come across. Didn't have the same impact as Robin Williams would have, obviously. He just looked really unhinged.
Well, what we're going to do when we come back from break is hopefully talk about either his death and how he was found and the condition he was found in, or how all the old people in Ireland live in dorm-style rooms.
I'm up for either one.
We'll be right back.
All right.
And we are back on Kilt to Death. I'm still here with the Dog. Oh, oh. That sounded like a guy.
Oh, oh.
Sounded like an impression of a guy.
Oh, oh.
Almost, it's kind of seal-like, almost.
Yeah, Kiss from a Rose.
Yeah, that sounded a lot like Kiss from a Rose.
A kiss from a rose. Is that what he says?
That sounded like a dog.
Steve, your nickname is now The Dog. Though I believe this episode still comes out during Bones Month.
That's fine. It can still be Bones Month and I can be The Dog.
You know what a dog loves more than anything?
Hey, give a dog a bone.
That's why it's Bones Month.
Because I'm the dog.
Because you're the dog, and the dog loves a bone. We're also still here with Declan McManus. Declan, you are a photographer. You'll do so many different types of events, whether it be a mob guy getting made, a fake mob guy getting made that says murder, a porn, or weddings, or nature photography.
Or bar mitzvah, nature photography.
Can you talk a bit about your nature photography?
Oh, right.
Who pays you money for that?
Well, the nature photography, it's not really a contract thing. It's more my my art. So I will do I'll take photos of nature, usually trees, grass. Trees and grass at the same time, sometimes mountains, sometimes trees and grass at the same time. So I do exhibits around town at various galleries, or sometimes I will just put up like a painting just outside someone's house, sort of a gorilla kind of thing.
That's nature.
I mean gorilla as in G-U-E.
Oh, okay.
R-I-O, and not the other monkey gorilla. Although, well, that's kind of a funny, be kind of a funny thing if I set just dressed up in an actual gorilla suit and, set up my paintings outside, like a butcher shop.
Your paintings?
Oh, well, yeah, one of my paintings, I forget, I also...
Are you a painter, too?
I'm a painter, too, but I'm not very good. It's mainly just the photographer, so, but, set up my photographs, I guess. Outside of a butcher shop and say, don't monkey around. Buy my photos. I'm just spitballing here.
You're making really like memes?
I could make memes. Yeah. I could just put I have a sign around my neck saying, don't monkey around. Buy my photos.
Yeah, that's a meme.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
But the event that we're talking about here today is the wedding between Cliff and Angela. Sorry, what's the last name? Oh, actually, it would be Shearer.
That's right.
Because Cliff's brother, Tom Shearer, was the best man. And that's how correct. You got involved with the wedding. Tom was your bocce ball club friend.
That's right.
And he brought you in. It was during the wedding that he was found dead. It was about 10 minutes after his speech, consisting of many different rude insults and bad jokes, and him jumping on tables. I guess, did they get to the vows before he was found? 10 minutes. I'm trying to think that out at a wedding.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was the...
The best man's speech was later.
Oh, it's after after the vows.
Yeah, exactly. So it would have been after the wedding, during the reception. So, yeah, they were legally wed.
And where did he go in between? Did he leave after he kind of bombed?
Yeah, I mean, he started crying right at the end. And so he went to the bathroom. And I went in to make sure he was okay. And when I walked in, he was punching the stall with his fist. And he actually managed to make a pretty good dent in it. And I remember saying, you know, it sucks that you bombed and that you're so unfunny. But you're pretty strong. You put a pretty good dent in that stall. And I remember he looked at me with tears in his eyes. And he said, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. And then he collapsed into my arms and... you know, I let him cry for a bit on my shoulder, and then I kissed him. I kissed him right on the mouth.
How long did this last?
5 minutes. We just, it wasn't anything too, there was no tongue involved, but we kissed on the mouth, but with very tight lips for 5 minutes.
Middle of the bathroom.
Yeah, a couple times someone, you know, one of the unfuckable elderly men, incel elderly men came in, and as you can imagine, he got quite a tongue lashing. I mean, not literally, but yeah, we told him to F off, and he did.
No one would ever give that old man a tongue lashing.
No, literal or metaphorical. But yeah, so that happened, and then I said, you know what, Hercules, why don't we go outside, and you can have a smoke, and we'll discuss what just happened. And so I went outside and I gave him a detailed description of how unfunny he was. I felt he needed to hear it.
Two of the jokes were yours.
Yeah, well, the delivery, I mean, you could say between them with the delivery. His delivery was very...
You think those two were savable? Though.
I think they were savable with the right delivery. If his delivery had been less antic and, again, less derivative of Robin Williams, I think that was his downfall, really. If he'd given a more laconic, deadpan Stephen Wright kind of delivery, I think it really could have sold the material. But there's a certain neediness that he radiated that I think really put off. Well, in addition to the insults, I mean, I don't know if that would have been savable, but the material I gave him, I think, could have been saved with like a really good deadpan. So yeah, he took in that. He seemed to be okay with it. And then at that point, we went back inside, and yeah, I had to go get some food. I was a little bit hungry at that point. I hadn't really eaten all day. I just forgot, and so I was eating some food.
Had you taken any photos yet?
No, I had kind of forgotten. I think because of the hunger, I just could not focus on any photography at all. So yeah, I mean, his act really threw me off. And that was one of the things that really made me mad. Like, cause like 10 minutes later, I hear someone from outside scream. So a bunch of us went outside to see what it was. And there he was lying dead with, with a bullet in his, stomach. And, first I was like, that sucks. It's my friend. He's apparently dead. But also, I feel like he kind of screwed me professionally here because he was so bad at comedy that it made me not take any photos.
But that would have been after the main event, is what you're saying? After the vows and everything had already happened, that his speech happened?
Yeah, but I mean, I kind of feel like I was worrying so much about his best man speech that I kind of forgot to eat, and that just made things worse. And so the hunger, like the more distracted I got, the hungrier I got because I was distracted from eating. And the hungrier I got, the less I could concentrate. So it was just like a, just snowballed really. And so
you thought, oh, this is a good thing actually.
Well, no, because the thing is, I felt like he owed me. Like, I felt like he should have really repaid me for the money I was probably not going to get, because I did not get the money up front. I obviously, after forgetting to take a single photo all day, I was pretty sure that I was not going to get paid, because it is, you know, I signed a contract, and really the first line of the contract is you're not going to get paid unless you take any photos, which really makes me rethink the contracts I'm going to be making going forward. I was thinking maybe omitting that line and just pretending it's not there.
Yeah, it does seem so obvious that I think a lot of people would miss it not being there.
Yeah, yeah, it just seems like the kind of thing that people be like, it's almost as if they wouldn't think of it not being there just because it has just kind of like checked, like marked as read, you know, like it's just kind of assumed. So they wouldn't even think twice if it wasn't there, right? They're just like, well, yeah, obviously we're not going to pay him if he doesn't take any photos. But I think, you know, legally going forward, in order to protect myself, I should probably take that out so that I get paid even if I don't take any photos.
Right. Boop, beep, boop, bah, boop, ba-doop, we're getting another call. Yeah, do you mind if I merge this in?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show.
The show? I'm looking for... No, I'm calling a Declan McManus.
Oh, that's me. Who's this?
Hi, it's Cliff. Cliff Shearer.
Oh, Cliff Shearer. Okay. Hey, Cliff. How's it going?
No, I'm calling you. I got your photograph that you just sent me.
Oh, yeah. First of all, congratulations on the wedding. It was a beautiful ceremony.
Yeah, it was.
Beautiful.
I wish I had a photo to remember it by. Thanks so much.
Yeah. So about that, I should point out there's nothing in the contract that says that I won't get paid.
There is.
Well, there was. There was in this one you said.
There is.
You said that was the first line.
It's the first line of the contract. I had a photocopy. I'm a lawyer. You can't fuck with me. All right. And this is why you're not getting paid. And I'm calling you. I know I'm cold calling you right now, but I'm calling you to say stop sending me photos. All right. We're not going to hire you for future stuff. I get these envelopes in the mail, and it's just a big photo. Some of them have grass and trees in them. Some of them are
a guy getting shot.
Some of them are a guy getting shot. I've seen a lot of those already, so those are, I'm actually not even fazed by those. But I don't need my smoking hot wife seeing those. I don't need my grandmother who lives with us seeing those. Heaven forbid. So let's just call it. All right, you're not getting paid. But let's stop
Cliff.
Sending the photos, okay?
Can I ask where your grandma was sitting at the wedding?
My grandma, first of all, she has a very short haircut, and she was sitting at one of the front tables with her other other grandparents.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, she was.
I've heard a little bit about your wedding, Cliff.
Yes, well, it was... memorable to say the least. Obviously, lost my brother Tom that day. Tragic.
Yeah, this event kind of was horrible.
But his speech was really bad.
Yeah.
His speech was really, really bad. And his wasn't even the worst one of the night.
So he called his own grandparents unfuckable.
Yeah, that was most. That
Those
was
were
was
the
at
unfuckable
the
incels. Was his yes. grandparents?
Yeah.
Well, there were some other ones in there too. He wasn't related to, but yeah.
Yeah, not everyone, but they were at the table, and he wasn't even. He didn't look at anyone directly. It was just this whole table. They had caught. They were under fire. The whole table. So of course everyone took offense.
And sorry, there were worse speeches.
Oh yeah, his was not the worst one of the night.
Whose was? Wait, Declan, you didn't give a speech, right?
Oh, I actually did, yeah. But I mean, it was impromptu, and it was not part of the actual itinerary for the reception. But I did give
a
speech.
No, it was not.
Yeah, sure, it is rare for the photographer to give a speech.
Or whatever position you were.
Well, I was the photographer, and...
Were you?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was what I was hired to do, and...
You set up so many of those big tripods. You moved so many chairs around, and you rearranged the whole setup. So you had these giant cameras. They never went off once.
Yeah,
you just kept telling people at the back kept saying, "Why does the photographer keep telling me he's hungry?"
Yeah, and while I understand your frustration, it was not my fault. You see, I was so worried about Tom's speech that I just couldn't eat, and which meant I just could not concentrate. And also, I did just get like one of those tiny little handheld Pac-Man games. It's kind of like in the shape of like a Pac-Man arcade game. And it was so fun. It was so fun. I just kept playing it.
Full volume.
Yeah, and it was so fun. I just forgot about having to take photos. So it's not really on me. It's really more on, more on Tom, like partly Tom's fault, but then also partly the manufacturer of the Pac-Man game, who I will be suing.
For making the game too fun.
Yeah, yeah, it will be a landmark lawsuit, and I shall have my day in court, and I shall win.
And sorry, you made an impromptu speech?
I made an impromptu speech, mainly just about the Ukraine-Russia situation. I just felt like Tom had not really, he kind of glazed over it. It kind of just skimmed the surface. But I really mounted what I thought was a pretty hearty, full-throated defense of Putin and his motives.
And you said that was an unpopular opinion.
It was, but it doesn't mean it's incorrect. I agree with this stance. And I really wanted to make sure that that particular outlook, that particular argument really got its God's day, as it were. And yeah, my speech did not go over any better than his. I actually had bottles thrown at me. Not like the time I went to see my favorite band, JD and the Straight Shot. And they were pelted with bottles. Are you guys familiar with JD and the Straight Shot? Really great blues band.
I actually know one interesting fact about JD himself.
Oh, what's that?
Well, we can talk about it after.
Oh, okay. What is that? Well, we should talk about it now.
He owns the New York Knicks.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Anyway, I went to see them once, and they were great, and thanks, got pelted with bottles. But yeah, they pelted with bottles, but in a good way. But me, not in a good way. I got pelted with bottles in a bad way.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you for giving a speech. Everyone was panicking. There were a lot of speeches given after Tom set the stage for one of the worst ones. Hell, I mean, my best friend is Angela's brother, and you can imagine what his speech was. He was roasting me, let me tell you that. It hurt. I think I lost a friend that night. Some of the roasts were so brutal. And I'm going to be honest, I don't think there was a single speech that was good.
Well, he said he wanted to slap you. I remember that part.
Yeah.
And then he slapped you. That was really bad.
Yes, he said, I wish I was marrying Angela. She's smoking. Yeah. No, it's his sister.
Yeah, yeah.
That was tough.
Everyone kind of got caught up in that. I think Tom started that. I do blame Tom for that. He kept mentioning how smoking she was in his speech, and I think a lot of people latched onto that. I know you mentioned that offhanded during your Russia tirade, but I do think, it kind of became a theme of the night, and people kind of couldn't lose it, and we couldn't get back on track. I had a whole band. The band didn't know, like they didn't even end up playing. Luckily, they didn't have a line in their contract that said they didn't get paid if they don't play music. So of course, I obviously still
had
to pay.
And they have all that Knicks money.
Yeah, yeah, I still had to pay JD and the Straight Shot's full price.
The band was JD and the Straight Shot. Yeah, and the concert I was referencing earlier was a different one, but they did get pelted bottles at the reception as well. So
yeah,
it was a common theme.
Well, that's because you were hiding behind them and people were trying to hit you still. You were cowering around behind the drum kit.
Yeah, a little from column A, a little from column B. Like, some of those bottles were meant for me. Some, I think, were meant for the band. But,
they hadn't played a song yet.
You could tell, like, their attitude, the audience just wasn't really into, right. JD. You know, JD has that kind of swagger, that kind of, BDE, as it were. And I can tell a lot of the patrons were put off by that.
Yeah, the patrons at my wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a bit of a disaster, but I just came on here to say stop sending me photographs and invoices because I will not be acknowledging either of them.
Okay, can I make a proposition? Would you be willing to pay me $50,000 if I spend one night with your wife?
No.
Okay, let me try and sweeten the pot a bit. I'm very good in bed, and I know that you are... Well, I don't know you're shooting blanks, but it's just a vibe I get. So this could be a pretty good shot at getting a little in vitro. Well, not in vitro, but look, I'm willing to impregnate your wife. I'll just put it plainly like that.
What? Wait a minute. Shooting blanks.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom, I think, was shot with an active bullet, hence dying.
Yeah, or right. Was he?
What?
Whoa. Uncle Harry, remember his speech when he fired off that gun in the middle of his speech?
Wait, are you talking about Harry Shearer?
Yeah,
well, that was not right.
Intentional, but yeah, I guess I am.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot he was there.
Harry Shearer was there, my uncle.
He was there, and boy, it really is true what people say. He really is an asshole. But yeah, talented guy, but he's a jerk. He's a jerk.
But that was not a real gun. A lot of people don't know Harry like I do, and it's that gun is it's just loaded with blanks. It was just to scare people. After every he would do one of his Simpsons impressions, and then he'd fire the gun, and then switch to another one, and then fire the gun, and then switch to another. He just said, "That's how fast I can switch characters." He kept saying, "Faster than a speeding bullet."
Yeah.
Anyways, if he had that gun, then he would have. It would have been so easy to fake. People would have heard the gunshot, and then he was lying there, and he'd be able to run away, start a whole new life.
Wait,
get away, leave this speech behind him.
You think Tom faked his death?
I think so.
What other evidence points to this? Because right now it does seem like a pretty big leap, and it seems like maybe a brother trying to rationalize.
I do remember when I had the dinner at his house that I mentioned earlier with his wife. I do remember him saying something about...
What did you
spaghetti
eat?
Spaghetti sauce?
Yeah. Oh, right. My God.
He has access to spaghetti sauce. That's what was smeared on his tux.
Right. Well, that was actually just going to say that he did bring up that he had always fantasized about kind of throwing off the shackles of his current existence. And it's like he asked me point blank, have you ever fantasize about being someone else? And I said, yeah, and I'd love to be Harry Shearer. But I hadn't made the connection. Like, I did not know. Like, I just want to be Harry Shearer, to be an asshole, but also be successful. He was like, yeah, I know who I'd want to be. And then he said Enrique Iglesias. But not the not the singer. But I think he just wanted that to live under that name. And I didn't think anything of it at the time because... You know, a lot of time in polite conversation, people will say, I would love to live under a different identity. But in hindsight, I think there's something fishy about that.
So whether it was about Tom's death or the amount of photos you gave, it turns out nobody was shot.
Right.
Wow.
Well, I wonder where he is. Well, I'd like to shake him down for the money that I'm apparently not going to get for the wedding. You gotta get paid somehow. It's gonna come out of his hide.
And that wraps up another successful episode of Kill to Death. He's still alive, just on the lam. I want to thank Zach Aaron for our theme song, Mary Jane Schumer for our art. If you have a suggestion for a murder, killtodeathpodcast@gmail.com, or if you just want to have a gas online, Kill to Death Podcast on Instagram or KGD Pod on X. We talked a lot about Dune 2.
Dune 2.
And if you want to hear more movies that are... They could also be sequels in a desert. What's another sequel in a desert?
Got any? Sahara 2.
Lawrence of Arabia 2.
Exactly. So if you want to hear us talk about any iconic films like those, check out Griffin and Steve. Guess the Movie. The only podcast where Griffin and I have to guess a movie based on 5 clues from the other person. So go check that out on Apple Podcasts. It's on Sonar Plus, and it's a fun little movie game show you can play along at home with.
Steve, can I address a more meta issue with our podcast?
Yes.
I always steal your segue because we started to segue into you plugging Griffin and Steve Guess the Movie. We always talk about a movie we mentioned on the podcast, and that seemed so fun to me that I've started doing it instead and try to snag the movie first when I throw to you. And I think that's wrong, and I think it should be you to guess the movie. But I'm not going to stop, so in the future, you're going to have to say it before me.
Hey, that's okay. The real challenge will be to try and mention one that you haven't said.
Did we mention any other movie than Dune 2 in this episode?
No.
All right, let's turn to Declan McManus. Declan, is there anything you'd like people to check out? I know you've brought up your phone. I'm going to bring up my phone too and actually say what day it is today when this episode comes out, in case that's at all relevant.
Well, I'm not, as far as me is concerned, as far as I'm concerned, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter. Hit me up if you need any photos taken for your wedding, for your funeral, for your bar mitzvah, for your gangland killing, for your Church of Satan.
If you want a
ritual.
Picture of a gorilla saying, "Don't monkey around, buy my photos."
Yeah, if you want that, I can supply that.
Well, that's you in a gorilla suit outside of a butcher shop, I think.
Well, a butcher shop is just hypothetical.
Oh, okay. It could be any sort of meat shop.
Yeah, it could be any sort of meat shop exclusively. But just an example. Also, if I may concede the plugs to another person who isn't me, there's a comedian in Winnipeg named Darren Springer, and he does stand-up comedy, and you can see it at various venues around the city. And on March 21st, which is a Thursday, you can see him at the Handsome Daughter. He's doing
so
a show.
This is why I did bring up my calendar, just in case it was relevant. Happy March 22nd, everybody.
March 21st is the show, but happy March 22nd as well.
March 22nd is the day this episode comes out.
Oh, okay. Well, see him some other time then.
Does he have handles?
He's got some love handles. but he's also on Instagram. He's at Springer Darren. And he's also on Threads. I guess it's the same handle. And that's pretty much it, really.
And that's it for us. Everyone, remember, keep your stick on the ice.
And if the women can't find you hands in this shit, at least find
you. Sure, find you handsy.
Yeah.
Handsy.
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 Bye.
Ow.
Killed to Death is produced and recorded by Steve Cook and Griffin Toplitsky and is a proud part of the Sonar Network. Music by Zach Aaron. Art by Mary Jane Schumer. Special thanks to Mike Mongiardi, Katie Lure, and Tom Shank. Please follow and like Killed to Death wherever you can so the boys know how to value their worth as human beings.
Has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.